So again, on the back of your bulletin, you can write those notes. The cards in front of you, they're opportunities for you to let me know of any prayer requests you may have or praises. If you have access to the website, clmfamily.org, there's an email link there. I try to check that usually earlier in the mornings, so I'm aware of any prayer requests or praises, questions you may have. So that's a link to me as well. So if you have your Bible this morning, if you would join me in the New Testament book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'll give you a moment to get your hands free before we make our confession. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And while you're turning and finding, hunting, I'll use the book version. That's just me. And I use the other. I have a couple Bible apps that are free. So I look up the verse on them every day. And I pray for an unreached people group every day. But I'm just used to the book. So I let my fingers do the walking, so to speak, in the holy pages. How about that? All right. Well, if you have your Bible, would you join me as we make this confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I read this text, the main verse there in 2 Timothy, let me read you these closing words or these final words from Jesus at the end of Matthew. It's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. If you want to write them down, it'll be on the screen. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This was after Jesus had offered himself as the payment for our sins when he suffered and died on the cross. He came back to life 3 days later. He was here on earth 40 days teaching about the kingdom of God, and he gathered his followers over to the Mount of Olives, and he gave them these instructions before he ascended back to heaven. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. So because Jesus has all authority, he commissioned his followers to go, and this is what he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And this is how we make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And, verse 20, teach them to observe. Notice, teach to observe. It's not just teach to learn, it's teach to live. So teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. For many years, I read those words like this. Go be disciples. And I thought, that's all I got to do. If I'm a disciple or follower of Jesus, is I'm good. But that's not what Jesus said, actually. What he said is go make disciples. We're not called to just be disciples. That's part. But we're called to be disciple makers. There's a difference. We're called to be disciple makers. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, this is really God's pattern or God's plan, God's way of making more disciples or more followers of Jesus. This will be a theme verse for today. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 says this, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Would you read that verse out loud with me? If we read off the screen, we'll be on the same New King James translation. Would you read it with me? Ready? And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So we are to receive God's word that is committed, or that word also means entrusted. We're to receive the truth of God's word that is committed or entrusted to us, to be faithful with it, and then we are to entrust that truth to, whether it's a family member, we're to entrust that truth to a friend or anyone the Lord gives us opportunity. The word there, faithful men, is generic. It's not just males, it's faithful people. So the message this morning is just simply this: commit truth to the faithful. That's part of our God-given call in this life. Commit truth to the faithful. So we receive truth and then we share truth. Commit truth to the faithful. I'll give you a little short definition of faithful in just a moment, but let me ask you this, because we just sang God is faithful. When you think of the word faithful related to God, does anything come to mind or any other, how would you define it or how would you describe it? If you believe God is faithful, what does that mean to you? He's trustworthy, thank you. Oh, he's always with you, and what else? I'm sorry, I'm getting... so he's true, okay? No deception. Did someone else... Dependable, okay, thank you. So that's right, that's what the word faithful actually means, trustworthy or reliable. In other words, because God is faithful, we can count on him, right? God is faithful to himself, his nature. He's faithful to his word, and God is faithful to us. And I'll give you one. This is the definition of the word. But when I looked it up, I found in John chapter 20 and verse 27. Remember, some of you are familiar with Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas, but he wasn't just all doubting. But he didn't see Jesus when he appeared to the others. And then a week later, Jesus appeared, and Thomas was there. So this is what Jesus said to him in John chapter, if you just hold your spot here, Timothy, I'm coming back. Let me read you this in John chapter 20 and verse 27. Jesus said to Thomas, reach your finger here, look at my hands. Reach your hand here, go ahead and put it in my side. Feel where that spear went into my side here, where my heart is. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. See the word believing? It's the same word translated faithful in 2 Timothy 2:2. I was like, man, that's cool. Because believing God is evidenced by being faithful to God. Believing, if I really believe God, I believe his word, then that would inspire me. That's going to put something in me to want to be faithful to him. I've learned in ministry, we must build on faithfulness. God-given ability is either diminished or wasted if we're not faithful with what God has entrusted to us. So I had to think long term. This was God's pattern, to commit to the faithful so they in turn will be able to pass it on. So commit to faithful people who will receive it, be faithful, and then pass it on to the faithful. Now we share the gospel with everyone. We share with non-Christians. This is talking about making disciples. Somewhere along the line, if someone's going to be a follower or disciple of Jesus, there's a call to faithfulness and there's a call to share that with others. Commit truth to the faithful. Would you say that with me? Commit truth to the faithful. And I need to ask this question and answer it, then I'll move on. How do we get into God's family? If you turn back, I'm going to come back to 2 Timothy, but would you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1? I'd like to just look at one verse here. How do we come into God's family? I know there is a thought that everyone's a child of God. I remember hearing that when I was a kid out on the playground. We're all God's children. And it is true that we're all loved by God and we are equal value and worth. We all have eternal purpose and destiny. We don't all realize it, but in that sense, we are equal. But Jesus told a group of people one day before him, they were called Pharisees, very religious, but they had the outward acts and not the inward heart. And Jesus told them, you're of your father, the devil. So not everyone's, we want everyone to be a child of God, and everyone can. Jesus paid the price. But how do we get into the family? The Bible says this in 1 Timothy 1:15. It says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, of everyone accepting it, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Aren't you glad Jesus came to save sinners? We all qualify. We've all sinned. The sin is in our heart. That's the problem. We must realize that the sin in our heart condemns us and separates us from a holy God. It's not just, well, I did a bad thing. I've done some bad things. But it wasn't just that act. It was the sin in my heart. I need a heart change. I need my heart to be cleansed and forgiven. And this separation from God, the Bible calls spiritual death. But thank God, He didn't leave us in that condition. And He loved us so much that He sent His own sinless Son who came to take the condemnation and the judgment and punishment for our sins. That's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross. He paid for all of our sins. He paid for all of those sins so that we could not only be forgiven, but that we could get a new heart by God's Spirit living on the inside and making us righteous before a holy God. Now, if you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, let me show you 2 Timothy chapter 1, just two verses, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says this, that God saved us and called us with a holy calling. If you're saved today, you're called. You're called with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. I love verse 10. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Thank God Jesus defeated death. He defeated the devil. He defeated sin. And He's reigning on high. And we'll be together with Him forever if we know Him. Jesus offers forgiveness. And I started to say daily grace. He offers moment by moment grace. Because I need it every moment of every day. So he came to offer that type of grace. If we would just simply believe God's word with our heart, that's the key. It all comes back to the heart, and confess that Jesus is Lord. Then we are called to live in close fellowship with our Father. We're called to stay close to Him because His Spirit is in us. And here's ministry. This is the way God designed it. Jesus called His disciples that they would be with Him, and then He sent them out. Here's ministry as God's design. We live in close fellowship with our Father, and then we worship and serve Him out of that close relationship. If we get away from that, I'm not saying we're not Christians. I'm saying we've gotten our motive needs to be corrected. And we need to enjoy our Father and just be in close fellowship with Him. God doesn't want robots. He's got angels who will do as well. He's a father on this Father's Day. And He wants sons and daughters who will receive His love and love Him back and worship and serve Him. What a joy it is to a father's heart when your children are a blessing. So we're called to live in that close fellowship. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want to really just center in here now. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. The man who wrote these words wrote, "You therefore, my son," let me pause there. This was not his biological son. He was his spiritual son. I thank God for my parents, Carmel and I's parents. They're both gone to be with the Lord now. But I thank God for spiritual fathers too. I've come to appreciate spiritual fathers more as I've gotten a little bit older, as I've been in the church and just served and observed spiritual mothers and fathers. I thank God. A church family is blessed if they have godly spiritual fathers and mothers in the faith. That's a good place to say amen. aren't you glad? I know you are. I believe you. And I want to be one. I don't consider myself old, but I do want to be a good spiritual father. I hope I'm a good biological father. None of us are perfect, but my heart is there. I want to be a good one. So he says, I'm writing to you, my son. And he says, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. This is so important because we're not going to be able to effectively disciple others if we're not filled with God's grace. There's really only one way to be strong spiritually. There's only one way to be strong in our walk with the Lord and serve it in ministry, and that's by the grace of God. Would you turn to someone next to you and just smile and just tell them, be strong in God's grace? Thank God He saves us by His grace. He calls us by His grace. And he empowers us. Be strong. He empowers us to do his will by his grace. And by God's grace, we can be faithful sons and daughters, and he can use us to raise up other sons and daughters in the family. I want you, our lives have eternal purpose. We're not just living for the here and now. I hope we're not. Because if that's it, man, if we just live for the here and now, when we take our last breath, that's it. But we can live for something that's going to outlast us. We can live for time and eternity. We just have to be willing to do it God's way and to be faithful to him. And he'll use us in whatever capacity that is. Some are going to have larger groups of influence and reach than others. That's okay. It's not a question of who has biggest numbers. I get around other pastors so many times just over the years. And one of the first things they want is, how many people you got? Honestly, we used to count. And we haven't counted in so many years. I honestly don't know. I could go through and about call everybody's name, maybe, but I'd never have just added up the number. And because it doesn't matter. I want to reach everyone God would have me to reach. And I just want to be faithful to the Lord. So to be faithful to him, commit truth to faithful people, to the faithful. Paul committed truth to his spiritual son, Timothy. And then I want to give you two qualities that are required for faithfulness. But before I do, I want to emphasize this because let me look at verse 2 again. It says, the things that you have heard from me. What things did Timothy hear? If you back up to chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says this. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. I'll come back to that. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad there's faith and love in Christ? So he says, hold fast. I've given you some sound words, really scriptural words. Verse 14 says, so that good thing, those sound words which was committed, commit truth to the faithful, which was committed to you, son Timothy, you keep that by the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. If you want to write this verse down, let me read it to you. It's 3 John chapter 2. I love this prayer, and it's my prayer for you. 3 John, just one chapter, verse 2 says this. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. That's my prayer for you. I thank God for financial prosperity. The Lord grants that. But I want you to prosper in faith. I want you to prosper in your relationships. I want you to prosper in your thoughts. I want you to prosper in your emotions. I want you to prosper in just holiness. And I want you to prosper in that way so that it filters out into your physical body. So 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 says this, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. See the word health? It's the same word translated sound in 2 Timothy. So, 2 Timothy 1, the sound words, they're healthy words. They're life-giving words. See, the truth of God's word has the power to save us. The truth of God's word has the power to free us from every chain and every lock that a demon has. The truth of God's word has the power to heal us where we've been beaten down, heal us where we've been condemned, where we've been cussed, heal us where we've been hurt, disappointed. All of those life experiences that we can go through that it is so easy to dwell on and relive those hurts and keep tearing the scab off so it keeps affecting how we live and it robs us of peace and it robs us of joy in the Lord. That's not how our Father wants us to live. He loves us, and the truth of God's word has the power to save, it has the power to free, and it has the power to heal. It's life-giving word. So let me just ask you, I want to just think about it. What life-giving truth are you dwelling on and sharing? See, God doesn't want us, I'm telling you, I believe I can say this from God's word and from experience. We tend to lose what we don't give. You might think the opposite. But if I receive the truth of God, it helps me to share it with someone else. It helps me to pass it on. It's like water in that seed and the roots get down deeper in me. But God's truth is an absolute must. It's a necessity in making disciples. Let me read this to you, and then I want to close with these two qualities of faithfulness. The Bible says, same book, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, speaking about the truth of God's word, sound words. It says, verse 2 says, preach the word. Would you say that with me? Preach the word. Be ready. See, if we preach the word, we'll cover all the topics we need to. And I don't have to get sidetracked on something else. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure, same word, they will not endure sound teaching, sound doctrine. They'll not. People won't even want to hear the life-giving, healing truth of God's word because the devil will deceive us. And so he says, they'll turn away from hearing sound teaching. Doctrine means teaching. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. And when you turn from truth, all you're going to have is something false, a fable. Turn from truth. Let's turn to truth. And each person has to decide if someone wants to feel comfortable in sin. Sadly, there are those who will make them feel that way. I don't want to come. I'm a fellow brother in need of God's mercy and grace as anyone else. I never want to come across arrogant, condescending, harsh, like some know-it-all. But I never want to compromise God's truth either. I want to share it in love because I know it's what we need. Commit truth to the faithful. Would you say that with me? Commit truth to the faithful. Now, let me give you this real quick. What does faithfulness require? Because God, in the scripture here, faithfulness in ministry is compared to a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. And the reason that the church of Jesus Christ grows and the kingdom of God expands is because believers are faithful to God and his truth. So be faithful to the Lord. And again, the motivating factor is this. It's our Father's love in our heart for us that inspires us to be faithful to him. I want to emphasize that. It's God's love for us that inspires us to be faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says this. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Here's the analogy of a soldier. Verse 4. No one engaged in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. The first of the two virtues that faithfulness requires is faithfulness requires endurance. Endurance. We got to endure. How many of you served in our nation's military? Would you raise your hands? Would you hold them up just a moment? Thank you. Thank you for your service. And did your commanding officers just try to make you comfortable? I've never had that opportunity or privilege to serve our country, but I kind of figured that. Soldiers aren't called to be comfortable, are they? Soldiers are trained for battle. And so to serve in ministry, to be faithful, it's going to require some endurance. There are going to be times when we're not comfortable in ministry. And it's not that God's just trying to make us uncomfortable, but sometimes we actually need a little discomfort because it can help us realize our need for God, and it's how we grow. We're in training. See, the Bible says we're to fight the good fight of faith. It's a good fight because we win, but it's still a fight. We win the ultimate victory because Jesus won it for us. But man, we're going to have our battles. It's going to be hard at times, and we're going to have to endure some tough things. We're going to have to battle lies. We're going to have to battle fatigue. I'm not saying wear yourself out. I'm talking about spiritually. We're going to have to battle opposition. There are going to be those who will come against us, and we don't even necessarily know why. The devil is going to come against us. We're going to battle discouragement. We got some real people. You can relate, right? So we're going to have to battle these things. The devil is going to try to distract us from God's high calling. And he's got a lot of distractions to use. But let's not give in to it. So we're going to have to keep going. And this scripture says, verse 4, no one entangled or engaged in this warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. In other words, not getting so distracted from God's call that I miss what he wants me to do, that we may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. That's why I'm saying it all comes back. I watch the end of, sometime on Sunday afternoon, if I'm home, depending on the time of year, I might try to catch the end of the golf to see who won. I really wanted to see if Scottie Scheffler would win this past week. And I didn't catch that, but I caught the end of the NASCAR race. I know some watch NASCAR, some joining online watch NASCAR. And they were on a road course. And I saw they coming down toward the line, the first and second cars coming along. And the second place car with the finish line in sight ran out of gas. And he was hitting the starter to inch his way across to try to get across the... But for everyone who passed him, it was probably costing him however much money because you get points and so forth, the way I understand it. But he was right there. He could see the finish line and ran out of gas. Now, we don't want to do that spiritually. We talk about not only starting well, but finishing well. Here's our gas. Stay close to the Lord and go by his grace. That's what's going to help us endure, is God's grace to help us to see it through so that we will, and I'm going to say we will endure. Would you say that with me? We will endure. We're going to endure because God loves us, our Father loves us, and we're going to stand before him one day and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, and we're going to know that we pleased him and enter his joy. Commit truth to the faithful. Commit truth to the faithful. Faithfulness requires not only endurance, second, it requires obedience. Faithfulness requires endurance. And then second, faithfulness requires obedience. And here is the analogy in comparison to an athlete. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:5, also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Do you see how you have to, athletes train hard. Many of them right now getting prepared for the upcoming Olympics, and they're doing it for a crown that has a lot of prestige, maybe some money. How many of you have, maybe you won a trophy somewhere back in the day before everyone got one? Any of you, everyone of you ever have a trophy? I have a couple. Those suckers turned green. I mean, it was like supposed to be bronze or gold. I'm thankful for it. But we can have eternal rewards, but we got to play by the rules. This is the rule book. So we have to be, if we want to be faithful, it will require endurance, but it's also going to require obedience or we'll be disqualified. I'm not saying you'll necessarily not be a Christian, but you won't receive your full reward. But if we are obedient to God's word of truth, we will be crowned and we will be rewarded like Olympian athletes. That's what the word judgment seat of Christ means. It's like a bema seat where they would receive, and that day it was just a, it was a literal wreath. It was leaves. However long that lasts. You know how long flowers last, right? It was a wreath of leaves. That's what they did all that training for. But we have opportunity to enjoy eternal rewards, but we got to be faithful now. And then verse 6 says this, the hardworking farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. Ministry is work. It's a blessed work, it's a good work, but it's work. But the hardworking farmer, this came to me as I saw it in a new light as I was preparing this week. The hardworking farmer must be the first to enjoy. If we are faithful, we endure, we're obedient, then like a hardworking farmer, God is going to let us enjoy the rewards and the fruit first of our labors. Amen. I thank God for that. We get to enjoy, if we're hardworking farmers, we're planting and watering, God will see to it that we're going to be the first to enjoy the fruit of our labor. Now, others are going to be blessed. That's important. But he will take care of us on the reward side. and we'll get to enjoy the fruit of our labors. I'll read this last verse, verse 7. Consider what I say. Think about it. And may the Lord give you understanding in all things. By God's grace, let's live by his truth faithfully. By God's grace, let's share truth. Let's encourage others to be faithful. I've learned this over the years, too. It's a scriptural principle. In blessing and helping others, we bless and help ourselves. That's why I said it's not just for me to learn. I can be blessed, that's great, but I will limit what I get from it unless I share it with someone. Anyone the Lord would give me an opportunity to share. So let's be faithful with the truth that is entrusted to us. Let's encourage others to be faithful, and we will please our Father, we will bless others, and we will help ourselves. Commit truth to the faithful. Would you say that with me? Commit truth to the faithful, endurance and obedience. Let's stand together. Do you realize that you do have a call on your life if you know the Lord? I can't tell you what, I just have to pursue mine. I might be able to look and get to know you a little bit and say, man, I believe you're good at this or good with that. But I hope that if right now there's any doubt, you will receive the truth that if you're saved, God wants to use you somehow in ministry. And it will bring you joy, whatever it is. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be tough, man. It'll be hard at times. There are going to be disappointments. That's why we have to endure. But if you're faithful, you will be rewarded. So I'd like to just pray for you right now. Father, I pray that, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful because you are faithful to us. You are a good Father. And I pray, I want to ask that you would even rise up by your Spirit right now within your sons and daughters and just to say, Lord, I'm reporting for service. I'm volunteering here. And whatever you have for me, just use me where I am. God will use you in your family. God will give you opportunities, maybe on the job, in class, neighborhood, wherever it is. I've learned God will use the available. And if you're available, he'll grant the ability. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to just follow your lead. Help us to trust you, to love you, to bless you. We want to give you joy on this Father's Day, Lord. Thank you for loving us and saving us with a holy calling in Jesus' name.